But before we look at some of the words of the prophet, I would like to read to you a brief note we received from Dr. White. We sent him a note letting him know that we were praying for him as he labors in the gospel. And so he sent back a brief note. This is Friday, August the 6th. Many thanks. One sermon down, three to go. I am in a bad part of town. I honestly do not feel overly safe here, Utica. I heard sirens going by all night long. I have had to drive a good bit, and it is insane here. Only had 2.5 miles to drive to and from the location of the conference, and it took 20-plus minutes each time. Horns blaring, people doing insane things. Then you start walking, and you take your life in your hands. One woman tried to hit me twice while walking to lunch. I could never live in Brooklyn, New York, let me assure you, James. And so we'll pray for our brother's ministry and also for his safety as regards traffic situations. So let us pray together. Our Lord God, we thank you for the gospel. And we are thankful that you have placed us in a land from East Coast to West Coast we can freely go, and we have opportunities to speak your truth. We do pray for our brother James, that you would grant him safety, that you would grant him grace. He seeks to set forth your truth, and for his labors there, might we in due time see fruit. And our Lord God, again, we pray for our own selves. As we look at your holy word, we are being confronted with truth that is eternal. We look at a society that existed hundreds of years ago, and we seem to see a picture of our own. And so by means of your word, equip us that we might be faithful to you in this culture in which you have placed us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Needless to say, we live in a time of emails and faxes and streaming computers, and we live in a time of the cell phones, and you can send pictures all over the place. And you can do this as you sit on the east side of the room, you send it over the west side of the room, or you can send emails and pictures to someone who lives in another nation. And for these types of communications, we are most thankful. And undoubtedly, some of the young people here could not imagine life without such high-tech communications. But at the same time, with all this high-tech communication, nothing ever takes the place of face-to-face communication. If you really like somebody, you really enjoy someone's company, you like to talk to them face to face. And you see, when there is that face to face communication, you pick up a lot of things, like various facial expressions. And there's the gestures, there's the body language, there's the tone of voice. All these things communicate. And we've all had that little statement, well, you know, I was getting some bad vibes from that person, or I was getting some good vibes from that person. And none of that comes across by way of an email, or by a text message, or by a cell phone. No, nothing takes the place of face-to-face communication. Now we have some young people here in our congregation who are engaged to be married. We have Casey and Emily. We have David and Julia. We have Jessica and Matt. And I know that these couples are always talking to one another on the cell phone. They're always texting one another all these messages all day long, if possible. But at the same time, with reference to Casey and Emily, although there may be these text messages all day long, as soon as Casey gets off work, he gets in his car and he beats it up to Emily's house. There's something about seeing her face to face. And you may not have known this, but next week, David Callahan, he's going to fly clear back to Pittsburgh. I mean, that's over 1,000 miles. Maybe it's close to 2,000 miles to see Julie. Why can't he text her? Oh, he'd rather see her face to face, you know. And then Jessica, whenever she can, she goes over to see Matt. I think he's still stationed in San Diego in the Navy. Well, that's only about 400 miles. Why not just text the boy? Oh, she wants to see him. And so nothing really takes the place of this face-to-face communication. And we even have the biblical writers bringing this out. Perhaps you recall that little second letter of John. He says this in verse 12. He says, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. You see, even this gospel, right? Face-to-face communication. Well, tonight we have Jeremiah, and the Lord tells him that he needs to go have a face-to-face communication with the king. And so we pick it up in this 22nd chapter of Jeremiah, and we'll read down to verse 9. Jeremiah 22. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and there speak this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, you who sit on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you indeed do this thing, then shall enter the gates of this house, riding on horses and in chariots, accompanied by servants and people, kings who sit on the throne of David. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord to the king, house of the king of Judah, you are Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make you a wilderness, cities which are not inhabited. I will prepare destroyers against you, every one with his weapons. They shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations will pass by this city, and every one will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord done so to this great city? Then they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. Amen. Well, as we look back over our passage for the night, we'll start off with an assignment. God gives Jeremiah an assignment. God gives assignments to his people. You notice he says, thus says the Lord. So we're entering into a new section here. And he says, go down to the house of the king of Judah and there speak this word. And you recall the last time we were in chapter 21, we had the king sending his messengers to Jeremiah. And he wanted some information. What he really wanted, he wanted Jeremiah, the prophet, from the Lord to give a very positive message. He said, why don't the Lord just do something miraculous and deliver us out of the hand of these Chaldeans? And here was a king and here was these people and they were indulging in all kinds of terrible sins, but yet wants the Lord to bless. Like sinners today. They don't think about their sin. All they want is a blessing from the Lord, a deliverance from the Lord. But here in this particular section, we have the Lord sending Jeremiah to the king. And we assume that it's Jeremiah the prophet here that's receiving this message, this revelation. And we'll make another assumption that it's Zedekiah who's going to receive this message. Because as we work our way through the book, we'll find the prophet addressing more than one king, you see. So we assume here that the Lord is sending his servant to speak to Zedekiah, the king, and he's to speak to him face to face. And you notice he says, O King of Judah. And then he goes on, you who sit on the throne of David. And I suggest to you that little statement, you who sit on the throne of David, it was a little jab in his ribs. Because you see, it was the Lord God Almighty who established the throne of David. It was God Almighty who set up David. And then his seed would follow. But David was a man after God's own heart. He was a godly king. Yes, you think immediately of particular sins, but overall a godly king. And he was to represent, you see, the King Messiah. And so this jab is this. You're not acting like a godly king. You're not acting like your great father David. And so here immediately, you see, there is this jab that comes to the king Jedidiah. And so here we have the Lord sending his messengers, and you know your Bible and history. God quite often would send his prophet, he would send his servant to speak to particular people. You remember Elijah was sent to Ahab. Nathan was sent to David. And here we have Jeremiah being sent to Zedekiah. The Lord has a message. And you see, this took grace on the part of Jeremiah because not all kings responded like David did when confronted with their sins. We all know the response of David when it's pointed out, you are the man. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. And then we have that Psalm 51 that's so well known amongst the people of God. But here with this particular king, there was not a good positive response. But nevertheless, he says, you go, and he says, you go down, you see, to this king and speak this word to him. And so we assume again that Jeremiah was in the temple area because the king's house was south and down from the temple. And so you have a place here where later on someone is said to go up to Jerusalem. And so you notice it says here in verse 10 of chapter 26, when the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord. And so there's a going up. And so language in the Bible is like we use today. We speak about what? Going up to Flagstaff. Or if we're already there, we'll go down to the valley. And so here, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak this word to him. And so Jeremiah goes, and it appears that the king is in the gate, and that is the place where judgment took place. That is the place where information was given out. And even though Jeremiah is going to address directly the king, others are going to hear. Because he knows his servants are with him. Some of the people are with him. And so you have the king and you have his attendants, you have elders, you have judges, you have some of the common people going in and out of the gate. And just add to that, there were people who, if they heard the king was out in the, they wanted to see him. There's something special about the king. Even in our day and age, our president goes to a particular state, even the one we have now. If he goes to a red state, people still line the streets. They still want to see him. Why? He is the president of the United States of America. And so here's the king of Judah. And he's sitting. He's probably making some judgments. He has his servants around him. And so here comes the prophet. He has a message for this king, a message from the Lord. And so as we reflect upon this, does it say anything to us? Well, how thankful are you to the Lord for the Jeremiahs that he sends to you? The Jeremiahs he sends to you. And I don't mean literally a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And I do not mean someone who says they have received special revelation from the Lord. But I have reference to those people that God in His providence sends across your life. And either directly or indirectly, they say something about the Lord. They bring something forth from His Word. And you know good and well in your heart of hearts, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. Are you thankful for those people that He sends and they have something to say, and it convicts you about particular sins, and you're going to seek repentance. Or someone says something that's very encouraging to you in your particular situation. Are you thankful to the Lord? Be thankful to the Lord who sends forth His Nathans. Be thankful to the Lord who sends forth His Jeremiahs to speak to you. Maybe they don't know they're being a messenger, but they are there. And you know good and well what they say to you. It is from the Lord. Are you making a good response? Are you being thankful? And so here, Jeremiah, you see, he has an assignment from the Lord. And there's a sense in which all of us have an assignment from the Lord. And so I ask you, has the Lord given you an assignment that you need to speak to someone? And I'm not trying to upset anyone's conscience in any way, but has God in His providence, and has He from His Word, do you feel a weight upon your heart you really need to speak to someone about something they're doing? Something they are not doing. Or an assignment from the Lord. It's simply His Word. And His Word is making demands upon you. You are not complying. What about your assignment? Well, as you very well know, school starts next week for most of our students. And they're going to have wonderful assignments from those meanest people in the world, teachers. But the student is not going to make any headway, and the student is not going to grow in his subject unless he does his or her assignments. And so we all have some assignments, don't we? You know what your assignment is. Do your assignment. That way you grow, you prosper in the Lord. And so here's an assignment that is given to Jeremiah the prophet. We all have our assignments from the Lord. But then in the second place, the admonishment. And this comes out in verses 3 through 7. The Lord sends Jeremiah, as we've already indicated, to admonish the king, to admonish his servants. And so the Lord sends people into our lives to bring forth an admonishment. And so you notice how it starts off, thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. And so here, this admonishment to the king, you see the king was responsible for social justice. Social justice in the land. He was to see that that law was carried out amongst the citizens. Well, why this admonishment? Well, because this was not being done. Because people were being plundered. Because there was violence. Because the weak and the helpless, they were being taken advantage of. And it very well could be that shed of innocent blood could be that certain people were put to death who were innocent. Or it could have reference to child sacrifice. You see, social justice was not being done in Judah. And you have some of the minor prophets who pick it up when you look at the book of Amos. And it comes forth this way. There is this warning, you see, that is given to Judah. Chapter 2, verse 4. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept His commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour Jerusalem. And so the law was not being kept. You look at the prophet Habakkuk, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention that arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. So here is something that is addressed to the king. He is responsible for the social justice in the land. There is no social justice. The weak, the innocent are being taken advantage of. And the wicked and the powerful, they increase, you see. And so here's some encouragement. If you will repent, he says to the king, if you will start doing what I have told you, for if you indeed, in verse 4, do this thing, then shall enter the gates of this house, riding on horses and chariots, accompanied by servants and people, kings who sit on the throne of David. There will be peace. There will be prosperity. The judgment may not come. Prosperity and blessing will come. You will have good leadership. There will be peace in the land. But, he says in verse 5, if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord to the house of the king of Judah, you are Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make you a wilderness, cities which shall not be inhabited. I will prepare destroyers against you, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And so a terrible judgment will come. If you're like Gilead, it was a very beautiful place, and they had beautiful forests. And you notice he speaks about the choice cedars, but this army will come and it will cut them all down. There will be devastation. You might think of what took place in Flag here just a while back, that terrible fire. Well, after the fire, what? The rains? The mudslides? It was terrible. This will happen. And when those armies march in, they just leveled the place. But maybe there's something else. It speaks about your choice cedars. They'll be cast into the fire. Well, those beautiful large cedar trees, the wealthy in Jerusalem, they would have them cut down and they would use them in the building of their homes. And you remember Solomon wanted cedar. And so the wealthy in their houses, this nice cedar, it looks so good. It smells so good. But the army will come and destroy those cedar homes. The judgment will be terrible. King is exhorted, exert, and establish some social justice. And you read through the prophets, you read through Isaiah, there is the concern for social justice, you see. Well, what about our society? Well, thankfully, there is still some social justice, isn't there? But yet do we not see that the victim in our society is not doing so well? Justice is not really so good. Well, why is there this moving away from true justice? Well, I suggest to you because there's been a moving away from God. These people had moved away from God. And when you move away from the true and the living God, social justice is gone. It becomes corrupt. In our society, where's the true and the living God? We've departed from Him. And I'm not saying as many do, well, you know, we were a Christian nation. I think we had a lot of Christian influence. And the Lord would revive the church from time to time. But as it is now, the true character of God is not being set forth. There's no fear of God. Do you hear anything about hell? Do you hear anything about God's punishment? No, we can't talk that way. And you see, the character of the true God is dumbed down, taken away. And social justice goes by the wayside. It's no longer God's law. It's man's law. What he thinks. And so we need to pray for our judicial system. We need to pray for our judges. We need to pray for the establishment of the law of God. There you find true freedom. And so here is the admonishment that's to be set forth. And again, the question is, how well do we receive admonishment from the Lord? How well do we receive admonishment from a fellow believer? Are we like some days of Jeremiah? They resented it. They ignored it. They would attack the person who brought the admonition. Or like some, they embraced it. Though it was very, very humbling. Though it meant changes had to be made. Receive the admonishment of the Lord. Well, finally, you have what we'll call an aftermath. The aftermath. The aftermath of God's judgment in verses 8 and 9. And many nations will pass by this city, and everyone will say to his neighbor, "Why has the Lord done so to this great city?" Then they will answer, "Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them." And so the picture, you have these caravans that would go past Jerusalem to Egypt or out of Egypt going to the east. And as they would go by, they remembered this great and this glorious city at one time. But now it's rubble. It's been burned. Everything's been destroyed. And so the question, well, why has the Lord done this? And the answer, they forsook him. And so here I think there's another slap in the face of the king and his people. The heathen know why. The heathen know why. But God's people didn't perceive it. God's people couldn't manage it. I mean, after all, they had the temple, they had the externals. God wouldn't do this to us. But he did do it. And the heathen could see it. The heathen perceived they have forsaken their God. And sadly, this very day, I don't know about you, but sometimes in conversations with the unconverted, they see the foolishness of the church. They see these so-called Christians. They don't act like Christians. The unconverted, they perceive. They pick it up. What a slap in the face to Judah. But then again, you notice what is said. They have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God. They did forsake God. When a person forsakes God, there's always going to be trouble. And maybe if you reflect upon your life, those times you've forsaken Him. You've not walked with Him as you know you should. Those times you might describe it, you kind of wandered away into the far country. Miserable times. Miserable times. When one forsakes the Lord, there's misery. Sin always brings misery. It brings it to the lives of individuals. It brings it to countries. And if you think about it, your misery, whatever misery you yet experience, it's because of sin. It's because of your sin. It's because of the sin of others. There's been a forsaking of the Lord. But you notice, God sets forth a very gracious promise to us in the book of James. He says if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And so if you sit here and there's been some strain, there's been some leaving, well, heed the word of God. Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him in confession. Draw near to Him in prayer. Draw near to Him in repentance. Draw near to Him. And He will draw near to you. And there shall be healing in your life. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we have read about events that took place hundreds of years ago. But we see such things going on all around us. And we say to our shame, we have experienced such in our own lives when in carelessness we have strayed from the Lord. We have been attracted to the things of the world. We've been led away by the power of the flesh. We ask forgiveness. This night, Lord God, hear our prayer. We desire to draw near to you. We desire to truly walk with you. Grant us grace to do so. Grant us grace to truly humble ourselves and acknowledge our need of your mercy. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.